As the host of Bravo's popular Top Chef, Padma Lakshmi judges other people's cooking on a weekly basis, and sometimes she can get a little tough on the contestants. So it must have been with a bit of trepidation that she put her reputation on the line with a cookbook of her own. Tangy, Tart, Hot, and Sweet is published by Weinstein Books. I'm very pleased it has brought Padma Lakshmi to the show today. Hello.
Hello.
And actually, this is not your first cookbook. The first one, Easy Exotic Low-Fat Recipes from Around the World, was awarded Best First Book at the World Cookbook Awards. But that was 8 years ago. Were you already transitioning out of working as a model when you wrote it?
I was beginning to do some acting work and hosting in Italy. And it was out of my first film experience that I wrote the first book because I had to lose some weight. And
you had to lose weight?
I had to lose weight after the movie. I had to gain weight for the movie, and then I wasn't paid very much. It was my first acting job, and I wanted to lose the weight in a healthy way. I was making most of my living as a model, and that's how Easy Exotic came about. And since then, I have delved more into the food world. I did a couple of shows on the Food Network and some documentaries, etc. And I really didn't want to write another cookbook until I had something valid to say. And so I suppose I finally thought I did. And therefore, that's what Tangy Tart, Hot and Sweet is about.
Well, there are plenty of South Indian recipes here. Was this the sort of food that you ate when you were growing up?
It is. I was raised as a vegetarian in a very strict Brahmin household. And so most of the roots of my recipes begin there. And but I, you know, I took that knowledge of spices and seasonings and combined it with sort of European cooking technique. And I would say if I had to identify my cooking style, it would be largely Mediterranean and Asian.
Well, does an all-vegetarian diet allow you to stay thin enough to have a career in modeling?
I don't think it, you know, you can gain weight whether you're a vegetarian or an omnivore, as I can attest to with great expertise.
Well, you must envy Nigella Lawson, who can allow herself to become a bit zoftic and get away with it.
Nigella is a beautiful woman, and so, you know, it doesn't matter what her size is, she will still remain gloriously beautiful in any shape or form. Yeah, I mean, I don't really like to eat very heavy, although I love ribs, and I love all types of food. I would consider myself very much an omnivore now, and certainly this book is not a low-fat cookbook by any means. I tried to balance it out with some lighter things like salads and some, you know, fish and poultry, but also some more sumptuous recipes, because I think that's really the ideal way to eat, is a balance of as many things as possible.
Well, you were born in India but grew up in the United States.
Yes.
So I don't know whether you just were limited to Indian food or whether you already as a kid were understanding, getting a sense of all the different cuisines.
Oh, yeah,
from
very early on. I moved to New York with my mother in the 70s when I was 4 years old. And therefore, you know, the whole world was really open to us just on the island of Manhattan. And in those days, it was really difficult to find all the ingredients that my mother needed. So we wound up discovering other cultures just because we would have to go there for shopping, like Chinatown, for Asian vegetables like sugarcane we would find in Spanish Harlem, because I used to love sugarcane as a child. And my mother was really adamant about exposing my palate to a lot of different cuisines. So most definitely we would eat, you know, hot dogs and knishes in Central Park, and we would go to Chinese food because at least they had rice there, and I would, you know, so I would have rice with Tabasco and soy sauce, you know, because I wasn't used to eating all these different kinds of foods. But my mother did a very good job in exposing me to all different kinds of cuisines.
Although living in New York is different than living in some other parts of the country, and I'm not sure that you can find amchur and jaggery at the local Food for Less somewhere in Des Moines.
That's true. But, you know, that's the great thing about the Internet is that you can find anything anywhere. Like, for instance, Kalustians here in the city will ship anything to anyone. I know because for a long time when I lived in Europe after my theater degree, I myself could not find things like Amchur in Paris or jaggery, which is also known as palm sugar, in Milan. And that's what I would do. I would have Aziz at, you know, Colusians UPS me everything I needed. And I think now this country is so populated with first and second generation immigrants that have come that there are Indian grocery stores in every major city. And, you know, there are about 2 million Indians who live in the United States, and even more who, you know, there are even more Asians who live than that. So it's easy to get the items you need. There's, you know, sambar powder at Trader Joe's. There's any good supermarket will have a lot of gourmet and ethnic selections.
And where did you come up with these recipes? You traveled a lot when you were a model. Did you pick up things along the way?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I would call myself a culinary spelunker. And everywhere I went, I would try and pick up things from the markets in Morocco or in Bali or wherever I went. And, you know, I was often drawn to those things naturally. I mean, even when I studied abroad as an exchange student in Spain, in hindsight, I realized that the first things I learned how to say were the ingredients or food names, like zanahoria for carrot. And everywhere I went, I would just pick up different recipes and ingredients. And a lot of these recipes really came out of me daydreaming a lot, me going to the farmer's market and finding out about a new pepper from Brazil or whatever and taking it home and experimenting with it or tasting something in a restaurant and trying to duplicate that at home.
Were you able to cook when you were on the road?
When I was on the road, no. But when I, you know, whenever I had an apartment, I mean, I have a nice kitchen now, but whenever I've made some of the best meals on two burners in, you know, a kitchen the size of a closet. So if you want to cook, you can. I mean, in college, I cooked largely out of one of those electrical kettles. I would make, you know, noodles in there, and I would put in different sauces and slice up vegetables. So where there's a will, there's certainly a way.
Well, I'd assume that the people in your social circle eat out a lot. Would you advise them to stay home and cook their own meals?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we all have a lot of demands on our social schedules, and we do go out a lot, especially in New York City. We tend to go out because there's so many fabulous restaurants, and not everyone has a big apartment to entertain in. But I find, you know, because I travel so much for work, I like to stay home. I like to have friends over. I like to cook you know, different meals from different parts of the world. And I think there's a great kind of communion that goes on. And, you know, no one's sort of asking you 40 times if everything's all right, if you need more wine or water, and no one's sort of edging you to get out because the next seating is coming on. And there's a privacy at home that there isn't at restaurants.
My guest is Padma Lakshmi, who the latest cookbook, I can say that now because this is her second, is called Tangy, Tart, Hot, and Sweet. It's published by Weinstein Books. There's also Top Chef. Has that wrapped up filming?
Yes, we wrapped up filming. I think they will air sometime this year, but I'm not sure when. They try and keep us guessing as much as possible.
And in a way, you're partnered with Tom Colicchio on
yes.
that show. He is one of our finest chefs.
Yes.
Do you pick up tips from him as well?
I'll ask him questions sometimes about meats. You know, that's his specialty. So,
and that's something you say you came to later.
Yes, exactly. So I'll ask him about a particular cut of meat or what's best for this or what's best for that. But, you know, in the same way that he would ask me, you know, what spices to use. You know, everyone has their own corner of the culinary world that they specialize in.
Do you think that Indians have developed such a sophisticated approach to spices because most of them are vegetarians and you have to make the food more complex?
No, I think it's because most of those spices are indigenous to that land. For instance, cloves, cardamom, black pepper, those are all things that grow in India and in Sri Lanka and places in Southeast Asia. And I think that's where it comes from.
Although chili peppers, which come from the Americas, were immediately incorporated into the cuisine of India and incorporated into the cuisine of Thailand. I've had Thai people tell me that I'm lying when I say that there were no chili peppers in Thailand before the Columbian Exchange.
You're absolutely right. Just as there were no, for instance, there were no tomatoes in Europe until they were brought back.
Or chocolate or
vanilla. That's really the wonderful thing about food. You can often trace the history of a people through their fork. You can look at the history, like 1492, very big year for Spain, right? You had Columbus sailing with, you know, to the New World. You had the Jews being expelled. You had the Arabs there. You know, and all this creates a lot of wonderful food. You have the pomegranate, which Granada is named for. You have cumin coming in. You have all these different influences in that one region. And like that region, every region has its own confluence of different flavors.
And you have a lot of dishes here with pomegranates, obviously.
Yes,
it's
love
a favorite of yours.
I
love pomegranates too, but many people don't eat them because it's just too much trouble.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to, you know, here in New York, you can even go to a good Korean deli and they'll have them pre-shelled for you. I pick and choose how to do my chores. So it is arduous to pick through a pomegranate and just, you know, cut it up. I didn't want to put it in, but my publisher said that she thought it would be a good idea. So I actually have a section on how to peel a pomegranate in the book. What I do is I usually catch up on my TV and I just put a towel down and I, you know, very absentmindedly shell the pomegranate while I'm watching TV or I listen to public radio. You know, that's one of my favorite things to do is, you know, be in the kitchen and make pickles or chutneys or do my mise en place for the week. I know I'm going to use onions and peppers and ginger and garlic. So I usually just turn on the radio on a Saturday, especially in the winter when it's cold or rainy, and I just do it all and I keep it in little plastic containers so that during the week it's easier to make a home-cooked meal without the labor. I mean, most of cooking is chopping. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot.
It's all. That's why the fancy chefs all have prep chefs.
Right.
To take care of all of
right.
the nasty
all these
work.
Recipes were made up and tested in a, you know, just a domestic, a home kitchen. It was just me and you know, my housekeeper or my assistant, just, you know, my assistant taking dictation as I cooked. And, you know, so that's the thing. It's these recipes are very different from what you see on Top Chef. It's very easy for me to make a distinction because I hope that these are approachable and I hope that these are good for families sitting at home together.
This is not restaurant food.
This is not restaurant food at all. You know, when I'm judging what is set before me on Top Chef, I'm thinking, do I want to get dressed up? Do I want to spend $100 a head? Do I want to make reservations? Do I want to find a babysitter for the kids? Do I want to go out? And, you know, am I willing to pay for this? You know, frankly, if I can do it at home, I would.
Have you thought about why reality cooking shows have become so popular? I mean, Gordon Ramsay now has 3 programs on the air.
I think
PBS has a whole series. There's a whole, you know, cable network, and then a lot of Bravo and others all have shows as well.
I think food is something that every creature on the planet consumes, and whether we ever pick up a knife to chop anything or a ladle to stir something on the stove, we all eat. So we all have very definitely formed opinions about that food. And I think it's very compelling to watch someone try and strive to be really good at what they're doing, whether it's making a dress or playing an instrument or cooking a beautiful meal.
Do you think that in this country it's also an indication that American attitudes toward food is changing? There was a time when chefs would tell you that they couldn't put all sorts of things on the menu because mm-hmm. nobody would order it. And now we're starting to see sweetbreads in more restaurants and things
yes,
like that.
Yes, I think that's because, you know, the American culture, as is any culture in any urban city. Also, I want to make the distinction that, you know, not only in America, that is to say, not only in Los Angeles and Chicago and New York, but in Des Moines, you know, to use your example, as well as downtown Mumbai or Marrakesh, people are eating all sorts of things. You know, they're eating Moroccan one night and Mexican another night and Italian the third and sushi the fourth. And we are interested. We are interested in all of those flavors because we're becoming more worldly and more informed as a culture.
You admit to a weakness for chili honey butter. What makes it so irresistible?
Well, it's sort of like the WD-40 of the kitchen. You know, we were just playing around. I wanted the book to have some sauces and condiments because a lot of the time during the week, you don't have a lot of time to make a full meal. So if you have a protein like a chicken or fish or something, you can just fling a dollop of some kind of condiment. It's what I do as a shortcut and saute it and saute some vegetables and you have a meal. So I was just playing around and literally it's so easy to do. I mean, it has fat, it has sweetness, and it has piquancy. So all the three things that one could love in one, you know, teaspoon.
And pretty much describing the title of this cookbook. And as I said earlier, the Korean barbecue spare ribs recipe is on our website. You might want to check that out. And I want to thank you so much for being with us. Padma Lakshmi, her latest book, Tangy, Tart, Hot, and Sweet, filled with anecdotes as well as recipes and some gorgeous photographs. This is one of the most lushly illustrated cookbooks I've ever seen. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.